It took 15 long hours and an all-nighter. But the State House finally managed to approve a package of six bills aimed at fixing the Detroit public schools. And boy, was that vote along partisan lines. Let's talk about why and how the House and Senate have different views about how to keep DPS doors open. As we say hello to Michigan Radio's It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta. Rick, why did it take more than 15 hours to get this thing approved? Why an all-nighter?
Well, put shortly, there weren't enough votes for it, that the Republican majority that came up with this plan wasn't able to get enough votes in its own caucus to clear it until early in the morning. You know, it was always the intent that this be a bipartisan approach, that it be done with the support of Republicans and Democrats, especially Democrats from Detroit, in order to get this done. And what the Democrats said was, I'll basically put it into three categories. There are a lot of things, but not enough money and not enough things to actually fix the schools. It was very punitive on teachers and the teachers union in Detroit because Republicans are angry about the sick out. And I think this is the big sticking point, what to do about charter schools in the city of Detroit, and in particular, the Detroit Education Commission, that this commission that would have the power to close schools that are falling short, whether those schools be traditional public schools or charter schools. And the charter school operators have a lot of problems with this, and Republicans have a lot of problems with this, because the way they want charter schools to work is they want them to be opened and closed based on the marketplace, based on parents and families voting with their feet to either go in or check out.
Yeah, we had Representative Brian Banks, Democrat from Detroit. He says, quote, these bills are anti-student, anti-union, anti-teacher, and anti-democratic. So some of just the words of Democrats railing around it. Another Democrat, State Representative Andy Shore, a long message on his Facebook page bemoaning not just, you know, what's in this bill, but how it was passed. Something Michiganders are seeing here, you know, that these late night sessions, the Republican Speaker of the House, Cotter, desperately trying to keep
wrangle.
People exactly to wrangle. And it's something that Rick and I have talked a lot about. I think there was some surprise that it actually did pass overnight, because earlier in the day, I think folks thought that the votes were not there, a late night session.
Why didn't they send it? We're hearing pretty widely, didn't send enough money. I know Brian Banks said, if we send anything less than $715 million, we're not doing the right thing. This sends, what, $500 million?
Yeah, this sends $500 million, and House Republicans say that covers exactly the Detroit school's current deficit, although, you know, the emergency manager, Judge Rhodes, says that it's really is maybe as high as $800 million.
Yeah, that's what Rhodes has been saying, closer to $800. And of course, one of the things that we've talked about that I find so interesting is, you know, where this money is coming, the proposed funding from the state tobacco settlement revenue money. Just another example of how budgets have been crafted recently compared to when Governor Snyder first took office, which was this idea of no more smoke and mirrors. You know, we raise the money for this.
No more gimmicks, one-time money. Yeah.
Right. And tobacco settlement money, it just reeks of you know, during the Great Recession when Granholm would, you know, kind of, I will say, budget gimmicks in order to kind of move money over here to make up for this and move it over here. So that's just an interesting thing to watch.
Well,
too.
The tobacco settlement money has always been Michigan's pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Well,
that,
but
when
that's
there's something
I'm...
you want to do, there's tobacco settlement.
And that's what I'm saying. The fact that it's coming up here is just this example of, oh, OK, what are we going to do? Oh, look to the tobacco settlement money.
I do want to get your thoughts on these, some of these actions aimed at the Detroit Federation of Teachers. For example, allowing uncertified teachers to teach in the Detroit public schools.
Collective bargaining changes. Yeah, and look, and I think a
this
lot
This is basically House Republicans going out there to try and gut the union, you know, with the excuse being retribution for the sick outs.
For the sick outs this week. And I think that's what they were saying. And we heard Gideon DeSandro tell Rick Pluta earlier this week, you know, the sick outs did not help. And so probably another reason that Speaker Cotter decided to keep Republicans overnight was the timing of all of this kind of turned into this perfect storm.
This action on the teachers has been characterized by Republicans as these legislators being the adults in the schoolyard in the face of this childish behavior. But some people are asking the question, they're being the adults or they're being the bullies?
Mm-hmm. And we know that the Senate has its version. And I saw on Twitter Senator David Kinesic and Senators Jeff Hansen tweeted pictures of themselves there all night long. Mm-hmm. I guess what? Trying to get the House to move closer to the Senate version and apparently failing, right?
Right. Well, the Senate version is an actual bipartisan approach that it has Republicans and Democrats and Detroit Democrats on board.
Uh-huh.
And really, you know, the House proposal should probably be characterized less as a plan and more as a bargaining position, especially when it comes to charter schools, because now, as the Senate prepares to deal with this, the question becomes, okay, well, what are both sides willing to give up in order, you know, come to a conclusion that can get enough votes to pass?
All right, Rick, now what?
Well, because a lot of these bills were initially adopted in the House, there's a rule in the state constitution that says the Senate cannot vote on them for at least 5 days. And so, you know, the Senate will come back. They'll start unpacking it and looking at it and trying to figure out what's in it. This moved very quickly. Even during the House committee hearing on this, Senate members were coming in going like, well, we don't have a the Snyder administration saying, well, we don't have a position on it because we don't know what's in it yet. Mm-hmm. Well, now they're going to figure out what's really in it, and then they're going to figure out what they can live with and what they'll try to bargain away.
The aftermath of the big all-nighter in the State House with our It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta. As always, thanks you two.
Thanks,
always
Cindy.
A pleasure.